Saw Winnie the Pooh. That was the coolest thing, seeing Winnie the Pooh chasing butterflies with a butterfly net off. I'm just trying to guess, maybe 150 yards back, 50 yards back from where we were, maybe 40, but it was just far enough away that he's not in his own little world. And I was like, well, that fits.
Yes, it's perfect. Yeah. And that's what we all want.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, all this make believe reality, some of that make believe is spilling out into reality. And there it is with Winnie. And he's just walking around with his butterfly net, and he turned. And of course, I had my granddaughter's over there. I said, come on, come here. It's Winnie. And and then I waved at him, and he waved back. So,
I love it.
yeah, pretty cool. That was my favorite moment.
I wanna be like him when he flips a table. I wanna be like him when he swings a whip. I wanna be like him when he kills a fig tree just by cursing it. I wanna be like him when he tells the Pharisees the depth of their own sin. But I don't really wanna be like Jesus later when he dies for them. I wanna be like him when he's at a party, making magic top shelf booze. I wanna be like him looking down at Mary, his feet drenched in perfume. Or when he's riding on a donkey, people shouting, bless the Lord most high. But I don't really wanna be like Jesus when all those people change their minds. I refuse to pick and choose the parts of Jesus that are easiest to bow down to, and I won't use his name in vain to prove who I want him to be. That's just idolatry. I want to be like Jesus, I don't want him to be like me.
This is Redemption's Table. There you are. I'm glad you're here. Today's episode just sort of happened. We did have a guest scheduled. Circumstances kept us from having that original conversation, but occasional co-host Steph Cherry and myself, we were both on Zoom. Both of us have recently returned from some trips, and we started a conversation. I just happened to reach over and hit the record button, and here you have it. We are talking a little bit about things that happen when we travel, and I think there's some nuggets here. I know there's some laughs here. And so we're grateful to just have you jump on board. And hey, you got to hear Ross King's brand new song, Like Jesus. First part of it, we'll hear some more at the end. That in itself is worth sticking around a few moments to listen. So here we go.
So y'all just returned from Israel. We were talking about that. Y'all went to Petra.
That was amazing. So, well, crossing it into Jordan was a little scary to me. But you know, it's a whole different ball game over there. Much more strict about things, but different culture, different people. And then I was getting, people are looking at me, and I realized I was like, I'm the only pale blonde lady in here. Like, everybody else was, darker skin, darker hair. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to stand out. Where's my hat?
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but when we got over there, they gave us, I don't know all the rules, but your tour guides aren't allowed to pass over into Jordan. So we had got a whole different tour guide. And the tour company's wife, her name is Marie, she went with us. But our new tour guide, her name was Jihan. And she was just a little fireball full of the Holy Spirit. And I just loved her because she, not only is she teaching us and taking us to all these places, and she's very knowledgeable. She's from the area, grew up there, but also just ministering to us the entire time, and sharing about just all the things that God did and God is doing and that he's wanting to do in our lives through this whole journey of going to Petra. We went to Mount Nebo. We went to a mosaic, like the headquarters of mosaics making in the area. And we went to all these different places, but Petra was one of my very favorite places to go. I've always wanted to go. You know, it's seven wonders of the world, but my grandma, that was her middle name, was Petra. And then I gave that name to my oldest child, and her middle name is Petra. And my grandma comically was kind of ashamed of it. She thought it was so weird. She thought it was a weird name, so she wouldn't tell people. But I just loved it always. I always read about it and found it fascinating. So getting to go was huge. And I know, I'm sure you read in my posts, but I dropped off some of my dad's ashes there, just like reclaiming our lives. You know what I mean? Like we went through so much together. So going in there, you know, and it was crazy too. There were so many people buying and selling things along the way. She said this could have been a place where the wise men stopped and got frankincense on their journey. It could have been a place where Moses struck the rock and got water. Like she was telling like all these different things. There's all these theories and how it was a major route, like a trade route. But it was fascinating. And, you know, we got on a camel because we had to, right? You have to get on the camel. You have to ride the horse out.
How far, you know, you see the images, if you've ever watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, they ride out of Petra, that doorway, that famous, you know, entrance into the rock and goes into the rock. How far do you get to go in to the city? How far does that go back?
I don't even know how far. It's a mile and a half to the treasury. So that's, you know, the thing you see in Indiana mm-hmm. Jones. Mile and a half walking through the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's another 5 miles to get to the monastery part, which looks a lot of the same, but you know, it's a little different. But she told us it would probably take 5 days to explore the entire city.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did y'all walk in or did you camel in to the door? And
no,
you know,
we walked in.
Oh, so you didn't get the horse out from the door, you know, just jump on the horse.
We got the horse out.
You got the horse out.
But we got the horse at the end. So you walk probably a mile, then you get on your horse, and then you go out. But our tour guide was like, people want to ride the horse in, but it's the walk up and out that's going to kill you. Like, because it's at the end, you know, you walk down into Petra, but you walk up and out. And she's like, after you walk all that in the heat, you're going to be wishing for a horse. And so she's like, walk out and then get on your horse and you'll be so grateful that you don't have to go that last part. And I was.
When y'all jumped on your horses, I started to call him Indy again. Did Denby, was he quoting lines from the movie?
Oh yeah. And he was like, take my picture, make a video, da da da, like all this Indiana Jones business. And I'm like, okay, buddy.
I love the line, you know, I've used a little clip before, Marcus Brody, follow me, I know the way.
Yes, I love
it. He's falling off his horse as he goes. I'm like, well, that's very Don Quixote-ish.
Yes, that's why I love it too.
Yeah, it feels like life.
Yes, but that's funny and that's great. Who wants a normal life, right?
That's right. Well, I, you know, you've been to a real place. I just came back from a surreal place. Went Disney World with my granddaughters and my son and his wife. And when we did Small World, It's a Small World After All, I forgot, because I mean, if you've ever been to It's a Small World, it's one of those, it's a 5 minute ride. It's got to be at least that long. And you just hear this song over and over and over again. Yes. Anyway, when it went through Spain, I looked and there was Don Quixote and Pancho.
Oh, I love it.
And he was jousting the windmill.
Oh, I love it.
So.
I know. I kind of miss him, you know, after reading all those pages, those mini pages. I get to where I miss him and I want to go back and read it again.
I got to go back and try it again. I think I got, I don't know, 100 pages in or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so meandering a story. And I didn't stick with it.
You want me to read it to you? I read it in the voice of Jack Black from Nacho Libre in my head. And it made it highly entertaining.
Okay.
But I read, you know, I read the first and the second. Is there a third? I It's all together. It was like 940 mm-hmm. pages. So I read them all. I like the first book the best. But yeah, I highly recommend reading it in the voice of Jack Black, Nacho Libre.
I've never seen Nacho Libre.
That's your homework, Robert. It's ridiculous and funny. It's totally Don Quixote.
Well, my mind did that. That was noncommittal, right? I may do that. Were there any places? I mean, y'all were there in Israel for 16 days. Did you see everything you wanted to see? Were there places that you had hoped to go to and for whatever reason, circumstances didn't work out for y'all to be able to go there?
Yeah, I mean, everything. There were so many highlights of going there, you know, being on the Sea of Galilee, going to staying in kibbutz, going to Christchurch. That was one of my favorite things. Going to Mount Nebo, going to Bethlehem, you go all the things. My favorite place, I think, one of my favorites was Magdala. And I think he's a Catholic priest, but he ran this guest house in Jerusalem. And I was reading the story and it was saying how he decided he really felt moved to do a guest house on the Sea of Galilee. And so he bought this property and they started excavating it and they found the oldest synagogue in Jerusalem under the ground. And they were, they're going through all of this stuff and they're like, it's not a question if Jesus was here. It's not a question. Like, you look at all the evidence, you read the Bible, you look at all that, like, we know he was in here. This is probably one of the places he was speaking in. But my little favorite thing there was they have a guest house and they run this little place, but it's run by little Catholic nuns. And our Catholic nun, she was Irish, so she had an epic accent, but she was just full of the Holy Spirit and just pouring out beauty all over us and explaining how all these sites were not just something that you go and spectate. It's like, it's a place, it is a stone marker of God's mercy left for you and the generations. And I was like, ah, I love you. I love the beautiful analogy. And she was going through the life of David and explaining how he learned to have mercy and like going through people's lives and like, this is how they learned to have mercy. And it's all through trial, of course, right? And coming to the Lord in that trial. But I just cried through that entire place. I mean, I just wept. Like, they have two Spanish artists in residence who just made the most beautiful artwork. I mean, it was overwhelming. And I cried through that entire place. I just felt the Spirit of the Lord ministering to me and speaking to me. So that's lovely.
My mind just, when you connect it with the fifth beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mm-hmm. And gravitate it toward that word. This is what happens when you record a podcast after. Or not even.
After writing teacups?
Huh? Yeah, right. Well, we didn't ride the teacups.
That's a tragedy.
No, well, last time I was there, I rode the teacups. But I don't know. We didn't spin the little girls around. They were busy meeting princesses.
Yes, so, yes.
A lot of princesses.
Yes, I love it.
I forgot. I didn't keep count, but I could figure out who did we miss, because I feel like we met every one of them. Saw Winnie the Pooh. That was the coolest thing, seeing Winnie the Pooh chasing butterflies with a butterfly net off. He had to be 50 yards back from where we were, maybe 40, but he was just far enough away that he's not in his own little world. And I was like, well, that fits.
Yes, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, all this make-believe reality, some of that make-believe is spilling out into reality. And there it is with Winnie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just walking around with his butterfly net and he turned. And of course, I had my granddaughter's over there. I said, come on, come here. It's Winnie. And and then I waved at him and he waved back. So,
I love it.
Yeah, pretty cool. That was my favorite moment.
I love that. I love it. I love that you went. I love all the things. Like, I think it's one of those things that you wish your grandparents were more involved and more active, you know? And so seeing you do that is encouraging to me.
Thank you. We took Daniel and Lauren when they were little. Daniel was 6 and Lauren had just turned 4. When we went to Disneyland, and I remember that those being 2 very full days, and just seeing the expressions on their face and how much they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, you know, kind of a touchback to that. But 30 years ago, I don't think we had all this princess focus that right. we have today. Yeah. And so this was all about the princesses, which was a different perspective for me to see Disney.
I think that's funny because, like, as you're saying that, like, watching their faces, that was what I loved on our trip, too. Like, all the people that went with me, it was not only did I experience it, I saw it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when the light goes on, when it clicks, when they feel something that they hadn't felt before. Like, yeah, I love that.
Change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective.
Yes. Yeah. And we need that. I feel like we get in a rut here.
Yeah. And I attribute that saying, first person I've ever heard say it, and I think he probably originated, is Mark Batterson. Yeah, you're right. We need it. We need the, often I think we need to hit the recalibrate button.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I won't say reset, but just recalibrate.
Yeah, I agree. Allow the Lord to do something different to shake you up because we get stuck.
Yeah. We're so focused in one spot, maybe through our prayers and what we want God to do, whatever that may happen to be, whatever our number one prayer is. And we're looking there and Jesus is showing up kind of 107 degrees off to the side of us. And he's there, but we're so focused in that one spot. And
yeah, getting where we want to go.
Yeah. If we would just do a complete 360 to spin around and just observe.
Right. So, and he's like, I'm having a tea party in a garden over here. Wake up.
I'm over here and my spirit has imbibed Winnie the Pooh and I'm frolicking, chasing these butterflies, beautiful butterflies that I created.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for you to look toward me.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. I love it. What was another highlight that you had, Robert, while you were there?
I'm still processing.
Yeah, I'm still processing.
Yeah. Because normally at the end of every day or the start of every day, I'm thanking God for all the little details of the day. And the days were so full. And I did that a little bit, but as far as just really getting into the little intricacies of the day. As funny as this sounds, the first day we went to Epcot and they were finishing up flower and garden. They had about 3 months where, actually 4 months where they put the focus on that and all the Disney characters are in the flowers and the flower beds. And it's beautiful. But I think that noticing the real things, the world of beauty around us. And then I heard birds, you know, I was keyed in to listen to birds and just observing, trying to find where the bird is singing.
Mm.
And that's because I've started doing that in real life about a year and a half ago. And when you start listening for them, then you start hearing them all the time.
Did you see the thing that I read some article? It was after COVID. One of the things that was searched on Google the most was, are the birds getting louder?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Andrew Peterson wrote about that.
Oh, I didn't see it. I was like, that's funny.
Yeah, that people were, because that period of time when the world was shut down and all this external noise, people could actually hear. But yeah, we just learned to listen.
Yeah, I love it. We can hear if we quiet ourselves and our spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was sitting at the table, goodness, sitting at the table a year and a half ago, and a thought just popped into my mind. I wonder if someone has developed an app, kind of like Shazam, except for birds, where you could...
They have that.
Yeah, they have it. You know, when I had the thought, I thought, well, I'm just going to look right now on the App Store. Sure enough, there it is, Cornell University. And I think there's some others now, but that was the first one I found and the highly rated one. And I downloaded it, and it's amazing that, and now I keep record of how many birds I encounter in the course of a year. I'm not a birder by any stretch of the imagination. But I heard a bird 4 or 5 years ago in Glacier National Park, and I have not gotten the sound of the bird call out of my mind. I put words to it to kind of help me remember it, but I can't find what this bird was. And I've listened to all these birds from that area, and I can't find that call. And it's kind of like, hey, hey, pretty, pretty, pretty.
That's
hey,
funny.
Hey, pretty, 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 over
it's
and over
just
again.
For you.
It's just for me. It may not have been for me. It might have been for my company. So,
I would think it's for you. This is going to be your new nickname.
Yeah, I really think it was. I don't think it was for me. I just think I was enthralled by it. Because that's just a different call. I know Bob White or Whippoorwill, and I have to say I don't hear those birds very much anymore. Of course, those typically are night birds in the forest, and I'm not in the forest at night as much as I would like to be. Because I grew up hearing Bob Whites and Whippoorwills. But I think the cicadas, in the short period of time that I was away, came back. And last night when I stopped at the grocery store, the cicadas are just going nuts.
Yeah, it's their time to shine.
Yeah. And I love it because it's like the earth has a rhythm.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's loud in my yard.
When did that come on?
I don't remember. It's all blur to me, Robert.
Well, yeah, you've been gone to Israel and you've been gone to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been very busy because you're Dr. Cherry now.
Yes, totally. It was funny because I don't really notice it hardly anymore. Like, I mean, I hear them, but I'm not like, whoa, those are loud bugs. But one of my friends was like, is that normal? Because when they came over, oh, yeah, sure it is. It's totally normal.
Therapeutic too. Absolutely beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Therapeutic.
Well, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to have that, you know.
Yeah, we'll hear what we are meant to be hearing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry of creation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get there. And, you know, I think the cicadas are going to have a hymn of their own for 100 plus years. And regardless of whatever little musical niche we're stuck on that we think we have to have this to worship.
All right.
We have the cicadas for 100 years. That's, I like that.
Funny. Yes. Yeah, we won't be tied up to so much.
Mm-mm, no. So what happened to you when you went to coming out of North Carolina?
No, I went to when I was going to Tennessee.
So this happened before you left Texas.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, well, what a way to start a trip. All right, so you were, let me back up. Back up the train just a little bit. All right, so you went to, after you got back from Israel, you went to Tennessee. You had a purpose and reason for going. What were you doing?
I spent the last year in a Christian life coaching school, just really learning how to rebuild my own life, honestly. But it was so beautiful and lovely and just ministered to every part of me. So I went and graduated in Tennessee, and we hiked on the Smoky Mountain and took all the loveliness of Tennessee, North Carolina in. So that's what I was doing there.
And that's why I'm calling you Dr. Cherry from here on out.
Yes.
You're a certified life coach.
I'm a certified life coach.
But you were also a certified
counselor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple types of counseling, but then... This honestly was probably one of the best things I've ever done out of all of that. Out of the decade of learning, this was probably my favorite thing.
What's the difference between being a counselor and a life coach?
Your counselor is more going to tell you, like, give you a protocol for life, explain everything to you, help you through trauma. Your life coach is supposed to help you help yourself through all of these things. Like, so teaching you how to renew your own mind. And then kind of after, the reason I found it so helpful is, like, after you've been through trauma and you understand it, how do you rebuild your life into this thriving, beautiful thing that you want? And not just sit there for years, you know, stagnant and stirring, you know, a pot of nothing. So it really helped me solidify and have the courage and the support. Like, I have a cohort that I went through school with. So they were so lovely and beautiful. I mean, we're still meeting and talking, but just having those people that are like, hey, we'll walk with you, you know, and you do it for them. It's amazing. Everybody should do it.
Yeah, I see a lot of people stirring a pot of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens, and it's sad.
Yeah. So you leaving the state of Texas to go to Tennessee, you had quite the adventure.
Yes. So I was telling you, Robert, that first when I got onto the little tram leaving the parking lot, that for some reason they had those big metal seats pushed up against the wall. So, like, the first two are pushed up and, you know, they're on hinges. And so I sit down into the third seat and, like, we're driving along and then we hit a little bump and the seat in front of me fell and, like, grazed my legs. And the bus driver's like, oh, ha ha, that thing falls all the time. And I'm like, quit putting it up. Like, I'm traumatized, right? That was my first leg before I even got into the airport.
And then what happened next?
Then I was in the airport and I'm going through security. You know, you're snaking around, getting over to where they do all the stuff to you. And they're like, okay, we're sending everybody through in pairs. So you're going to go through with this guy next to you. And I was like, well, I've never done that before, but okay, you know. And I'm like, hey, guy, I don't know. But, you know, he was sitting there like a British guard, you know, stone face. But so we start walking and we're like 3/4 of the way to the metal detectors. And here comes a drug dog out of nowhere, just going crazy, circling us, jumping. And the guy's right next to me. So I can differentiate if it was jumping at him or jumping at me. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is happening? And then, you know, the guy at the end is like, oh, it's okay, ma'am. He's a drug decoy. And I was like, what? And so they usher him out through these little ropes. And I'm like, too late, buddy. And I just started bawling. And I was like, that terrified me. I was like, almost killed by a dog before. And, you know, he's like, okay, well, go back through the line. And so they made me start over, walk the thing again. And then go through all the stuff. And I'm weeping the whole way, you know, and they're like sending me through the little kid line. And I had to sit down before I even got out to the gates. And I just cried. It was so overwhelming to me. And out of nowhere, you know, like, I'm like, I didn't know what was happening. So, yeah, that was very exciting.
They were doing this experiment to see if the dog would pick up the drugs and the other guy. And yes. They didn't bother telling you that you were part of the experiment.
No, they didn't.
and then they make you start over from scratch. How nice.
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, like, it was really upsetting to me. So it was hard to process what actually just happened. On my way home, you know, we kept getting delayed. I was going into Atlanta, got delayed a couple hours leaving Tennessee to get to Atlanta. And then apparently, like, all the flights were delayed coming in and out of Atlanta. So everybody is running through the airport. Like, it was a madhouse. So I'm walking along and I was going to go to just get coffee or whatever. And this pilot and his flight crew come running by me and he clips me with his luggage. And, like, I start toppling over and then I'm like, you know, starting to fall and I'm riding myself and I'm just standing there like, what just happened? And when the flight attendant starts yelling, "Sean, you almost owed that lady a lot of money." I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, do you people know how to apologize? But then, yes, so flight delay again. Then I get into the Austin airport at midnight. And I'm like, okay, I got to go to the baggage claim, da, da, da. So I go over there and I go to pick up my bag and my bag is broken, right? And then I see all my unmentionables riding the baggage belt around in a circle. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm chasing all of these things while trying to hold my broken bag and grab all my stuff. And I was like, thanks. Thanks for the show. Here you go, Austin. You're welcome.
How's that going to help you be a better life coach?
I don't know. At least I found humor in it. I mean, I'm like, did this happen to anybody else on the way home? I mean, really.
The Lord is my life coach. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of metal chairs and pilots and drug dogs, I will fear no evil.
Yes. Yes. So it was quite comical and in a terrible way, I guess. I was like, something's trying to rattle me. And I kept looking for those cameras, you know, like the little hidden camera. Ha ha. There weren't any.
There was no, oh, we've been recording you the whole time, lady. And, you know, here's your $1 million prize for being such a good sport.
Yes. No, I got nothing.
Oh, me.
I just think it's funny, you know, like we always are looking for one type of adventure and God is always putting us on a different one.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, you know, all the things where you're like, I don't think I really wanted that to happen. But then you look at it and you're like, you know, that probably helped me put my guard down and embrace other things. It also made me aware of what was going on around me. So.
And you'll remember that day or those series of days, the going and the coming, yes, because of what happened.
Right.
Yeah, that'll stick with you. It's better than if everything had went smoothly. And although every now and then I'll have a day and it's just like, and I think I told you earlier that I've had days like what you described where it's just by the third time around that something crazy happens, I just start laughing because like, what else? But then there have been other days where it's like, I don't know what happened, but everything just fell into sync, fell into place, weather, parking spot, productivity, every little element of the day. It's just like, I'm in a zone here, but I'm not causing myself to be in a zone. It's just like, whoa, what's this? And that day is so refreshing. I also remember those.
I laugh at Robert because one time I went, my husband was out of town and I had a day like that, like where, you know, everything usually goes wrong. Like when you're doing stuff, people get your stuff messed up or whatever. And everything happened to me in that day was going right. Like nothing was getting mixed up. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen and get some supper. And they got my order right, which had never happened in the history of me and that Dairy Queen. And I called Dimby on the phone. I was like, I don't know. I'm expecting a miracle because I feel like this day is full of sparkles. And I got home and we had been praying about like some major ministry thing. And I got home and opened my mail and there's a check in the mailbox for the exact amount of money I needed, which was a large amount of money.
Wow.
So yes, I understand.
Wow. That's funny.
That's like it's Holy Spirit glitter. It like falls on people and makes them make your hamburger order right. It's miraculous.
Or if you've been where I've been the last few days, it's pixie dust.
It is pixie dust.
Pixie dust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I always enjoy talking with you.
Yes, you too. And you know what? We were supposed to have Andre, the head of Twins Tours, on today. Mm-hmm. And his mom passed away. I think her name is Rima. I think that's how you say it, Mubarak. But I just want to, you know, give our condolences to him and just dedicate this to her.
Yeah.
And we'll get him on here soon.
Yeah, we'll look forward to having him because, you know, to talk and hear about his story. So there's so much else we could have talked about, but we just kind of a rambling.
That could be the title.
Ruminating, you know.
The good kind.
Yeah. This is a Winnie the Pooh. Chasing butterflies. There we go. Yeah.
That was totally what we just did.
That's we did. Yeah. So did you catch any?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, for those of you who are still listening. Do you not have anything else to do?
But we love you.
We love you for listening. Thank you. Thank you for, you know, hit that like button because I never talk about the like button. Or write a review. Although go back and listen to some earlier episodes and then write the review.
No, we're great. What are you talking about? This is the kind of stuff people love. Like just people talking about whatever.
Well, they do. I mean, you know, they listen to these talk shows where that's all the people do for 3 hours straight and just get on there and talk. So, yeah.
There you go.
And they have a whole lot less to say than we've had in this short period of time.
See, we're so trendy.
Yeah, we are. Wow, amazing. Might start something new. So, all right. I guess I'll hit the record button off. Thanks for listening. Those of you who are listening, please keep listening. We'll be a little bit more dialed in than we are in the middle of this last day of June. So it's almost a half year done. Are you taking a photo?
Are you gonna remember this?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, this will be the kind of day you'll remember. So, best podcast ever.
That's a little hashtag. It.
Yeah, but
if you say it, you make it a reality.
Well, I'm talking to you, so there we go. It's always good talking to you.
You too.
Yeah. And all right. And Denby's on the way back from Bryan Adams concert from last night, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is out in the movie theaters, and today's episode has been sponsored by Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and we will be expecting that check from Disney.
Yes, and if you want to buy a prayer whip, you can get one for $29.95.
A prayer whip. Oh, my goodness. I know a lot of believers who would like that because they seem fascinated. That's their favorite Jesus story. Have you ever noticed that? You know?
Yeah, that's funny.
You talk to people, you know, well, even Jesus got mad. Yes, he did. And then I've started saying, yes, and I trust his anger more than I trust my own anger or your anger.
Yes.
Everybody wants to flip tables. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll flip this table. This is Redemption's table, and we're flipping it now.
We're flipping it.
Flipping it on our way out of here. So I don't know who our musical guest is this week. I don't know who I want to pair with this. Because then they may say, please don't use my music anymore for you.
I want to be like him when he flips a table. I want to be like him when he swings a whip. I want to be like him when he kills a fig tree just by cursing it. I want to be like him when he tells the Pharisees the depth of their own sin. But I don't really want to be like Jesus later when he dies for them. I want to be like him when he's at a party making magic top shelf booze. I want to be like him looking down at Mary, his feet drenched in perfume. Or when he's riding on a donkey, people shouting, bless the Lord Most High. But I don't really want to be like Jesus when all those people change their minds. I refuse to pick and choose the parts of Jesus that are easiest to bow down to. And I won't use his name in vain to prove who I want him to be. That's just idolatry. I want to be like Jesus, I don't want him to be like me. I want to be like him when he's on a storm-tossed boat, sleeping like a babe. I want to be like him when he tells the storm to hush and it obeys. I want to be like him knocking down those soldiers just by saying I am he. got so much to part right after, and he surrenders peacefully. I refuse to pick and choose the parts of Jesus that are easiest to bow down to, and I won't use his name in vain to prove who I want him to be. Let's just die down the tree. Wanna be like Jesus, don't want him to be like me. If God agrees all the time with me, I can always do what comes naturally. I have to make excuses when the truth is, the truth might not be on my side. I might not be right. I like it when he says the weary can come to him and rest. But when he talks about forgiving folks 77 times, I like it less. I believe him when he says he'll bless me for all the insults I endured. Then he says, let somebody punch me twice, and I am not so sure. I refuse to pick and choose parts of Jesus that are easiest to bow down to, and I won't use his name in vain to prove who I want him to be. Let's just die down the tree. I wanna be like Jesus, don't want him to be like me. I wanna be like Jesus, I don't want him to be like me.